You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rainey Petrin, President of Management Mentors, along with my colleague, Dave Carson from the UK, and our two guests, from Monster.com, Sula Shans, Director of Organizational Development, and Norma Gaffin, Director of Content. And before we go any further, I meant to ask you, what is Director of Content as a job? What do you do?
Like I said, we run sort of the editorial arm of Monster. So it's the career advice section. We work with content producers. We have a number of experts in a number of different industries who we contract with, and we're creating the career management experience on Monster.
Right. All right. Thank you for that. You know, in our previous segment, we talked a little bit about technology, mentoring, career development. What I'd like to focus in on in this next segment and possibly the rest of the show is a little bit more of the process of how people go about finding a mentor. And I guess the first question, in my mind at least, is if you're going to be looking for a mentor, I guess what you've got to be asking yourself is why.
Well, even before that, it goes along with it, is I remember when I first entered the workforce and my expectations were that my boss would be my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people who are bosses, they're not necessarily leaders, they're not necessarily coaches. They might be really good at they might be a subject matter expert. Or a lot of times just companies don't have the infrastructure in place to help you in your career and to help you learn and to help you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want the mentor because you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You might want the mentor because you want to advance. And it's really sort of to me a combination of that.
I think you make a good point there. And I think what you're sort of saying is you're building a sort of mentor profile. Would that be correct? What you're looking for.
Yeah, you need to figure out why you want the mentor. You might want to change careers. I think it's so helpful to have a mentor. If you want to make some sort of career switch, you need someone who's in that industry or in that, you know, that part of the company who can sort of help you figure out, well, what are those skills that I need? Do I lack something? Is there something I could be doing more of in order to position myself to make this switch? And I think a lot of people, you know, I hear quotes that the average person works in 7 different job functions at least in their career. So how do you navigate from, I don't know, being a journalist to going into PR to going into radio? How do you make those changes?
And that's where a mentor can come in very handy.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think it's an important point, you know, when you begin to consider where you want to be in, say, 3 to 5 years' time or whatever, to think about the mentor profile. And you made some really good points there, Norma. And I think that's something that we, even in an informal program, would say to people, have a good think about your mentor's profile. But before that, certainly in our program, Finding Your Own Mentor, we like to give people some sort of input on mentoring dynamics, because we really believe that the success in the mentoring lies in building the relationship. And, you know, we all know in certain relationships there are so many dynamics going on, and sometimes we can be disappointed, you know, when our expectations aren't met. So I think for people setting out to find a mentor, particularly in an informal sense, it's really good to get some input on some of the dynamics around mentoring. Wouldn't you say so, Rainey?
Yeah, I think understanding a little bit about what you're looking for will help you in identifying the kind of relationship you want, but also the person you want to be engaged in a relationship with. The other thing that I think is helpful to pick up on what Nora was saying was, we also recommend that what you do is you sit down and say, all right, where do I want to be in 3 to 5 years or in 1 to 3 years? What are my goals? And when we have those goals, to then take each one of those goals, like, you know, I want to be, let's say, in a management position in, you know, the next 3 years. And then if you want to be in a management position, then begin to break that down into the kind of knowledge you would need, the kind of skill sets you would need, the kind of experience you might need. And that begins to tell you what you're looking for in a mentor, because you're going to need to find someone who has that knowledge or that skill or could lead you to that knowledge and skill to be able to effectively mentor you in.
And I think another interesting point to that, Rainey, is for me, if that's my goal to move into management and I participate in a meeting, for example, maybe the person leading the meeting isn't even someone that I know well, mm-hmm. but there's something, a trait about that person that I strongly admire and would like to absorb and learn that trait. To me, the power of observation can be very helpful in terms of what do I gravitate to, what do I want to be. If I see it modeled by somebody, to me that helps me in the process of thinking about identifying whom the right mentor might be, someone who can exhibit that trait or capability that I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be, Sue? I mean, that's really an interesting point. And I was talking to Rennie earlier on today about something I want to bring into the conversation a bit later. But is this something regarding personality that you've observed or you've heard?
Exactly. I think for me, I admire in terms of leadership somebody who's able to, for example, run a meeting that might have a very controversial topic, and that person remains cool and reflective mm. and able to draw out very divergent thoughts on the same topic without tension rise in the room, and then come to some solution. Some skill like that where you can sit back and just admire the art of what that person has accomplished. They make it look simple, but if you're really observing rather than and trying to learn rather than participating or taking a side of the conversation, it can be very enlightening, I guess.
Yeah.
And just to add on to that, I think that what people need to remember is how personal and specific the mentoring relationship needs to be,
mm-hmm.
because that might be what Sue needs. What I'm going to look for is when I see the person who's, you know, a level or two above me, usually from a management perspective, and that I see that they're very decisive and, you know, they're ready to make points, they know their stuff, they're completely on top of their game. That's the thing that's going to be like, okay, that's the person I'm going to go to,
mm-hmm.
because that's where I might have, you know, some needs, you know, or I see that there's similar management styles, yet they're maybe where I want to be, like you said, in the next 3 years. So I know that we're kind of on the same page in some ways. We have some similarities, but through working more closely with them, through talking with them more, maybe they can help me get to where they are.
Yeah, I think that's really an important point, because I think that people connect with people different ways. You know, like when we do matching in companies, you know, we'll ask a series of questions that people choose in terms of certain characteristics they want, and something like, you know, a mentor who's more social is more important to you than a mentor who's more of an expert. And although somebody may want both of those, forcing them to make a choice gives the matching committee and gives us a better sense of what the match might be best for them. Because there are people who have to feel comfortable socially with someone before they actually can go ahead and engage the relationship. While there are some other people who build the relationship based upon a respect for the expertise the person has, and in that they build a sense of confidence in them, and then can trust and share some other issues. So it's really important to what you were saying, Norma, which is to understand what's important to you in going into the relationship in the way you build that relationship.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm thinking about some mentors I've had in the past, and I've been, it's not like I've ever really banked all my mentoring needs on one person,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like we were talking earlier, I've taken a piece from different people. Oh, that's the person I go to when I'm trying to figure out what I want to do from an education perspective, because I think she has a lot of good thoughts in education, and she's really used her different degrees to her advantage and networking in that way to advance. Then there's someone else who is, wow, that person really knows a lot about organizing content on a site and really understands the internet space, so I'm going to talk to them about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just, you know, kind of creating your own mentoring network that you use for mentoring, and it's hard for me in some ways to differentiate between mentoring and networking.
Mm-hmm.
I know the relationship's a little, I wouldn't say the relationship's all that different, but the goal of the relationship is.
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction. I would throw this idea out for you to think about also. Is what I think would be the best of both worlds is have a network of, I don't know, support people,
uh-huh,
or a network of coaches or whatever, and I have that one person that helps me integrate all that stuff together.
Yeah.
That way I have the benefits of, okay, I go see so-and-so because they're experts in leadership. I go see so-and-so because they're really good at negotiating, you know, conflict resolution. But I have this one person I go to who I bring all this stuff to and say, this is what I'm learning, and you know me the best, and how does this fit into how I'm growing personally and professionally?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the best of both worlds, I think.
I think, too, that you have to be willing to say to a person whom you're asking to serve as a mentor that you have a certain, and I don't want to say deficiency, but not a fully developed skill area.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of in the strongest terms, I have a weakness here, and some people have a difficulty, you know, saying I'm weak in this area, can you help me build it? But then you're asking the mentor to provide you with guidance or maybe experiences to try to go have to help build that competency area. And you have to be willing to take that mentor's guidance and actually act upon it. Whereas a network, I guess I'd see that being, you know, you might ask for some suggestions, but to me there's less of an accountability or an onus to go back to that person and share what happened, how you helped me with the next step or that sort of a thing.
That's a great point. On that, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation on finding a mentor.